for example, Bullock, you're going to say.
For example, Bilam, not Bullock, Bilam. Bilam is a mystery to us. We are sort of like all trained in the manner of the Rambam. The Rambam said that the word prophet, the name prophet or prophet, somebody, theoretically, I mean, most people are busy, but in theory, everybody could be a prophet. Everybody could gain prophecy. In order to gain prophecy, the Rambam says, in Hilchos Sodiyah Torah, the seventh parak, well known, you have to achieve a kind of perfection that is available to all of us. All we have to do is study all of the Torah, and then we have to develop very fine character traits and be strong-willed and strong-minded. I mean, all of that goes into the necessary prerequisite requirements of being a prophet. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bestow upon you prophecy. But even if you don't get to be a registered prophet, I guess it's worth it. It's worth the effort, right, to get to the point where you might be a prophet. Now, all of this makes sense to us, even though we don't do it. But still, it makes sense that somehow Torah should be connected to spiritual achievement. Now, of course, you know, everybody can factor that out in the way they wish, but it makes sense somehow that learning Torah will aid and abet spiritual development and achievement. So the idea that there's a goy who doesn't have the Torah, who doesn't have any of this achievement, orientation, potential, the idea that he's a prophet could be a little bit annoying. He says, how come? How could it be annoying? And Chazal, you know, said this rather remarkable thing. Chazal said that the goyim came to Kodesh Baruch Hu and sort of said, the whole problem with us is that we don't have any prophets. If we would have prophets like the Jews have prophets, then we would be super spiritual achievers. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, okay, we'll give you a prophet. And his name is Bilam, who is kind of this idea that if the goyim are going to fail, they're going to fail on a level playing field. And the level playing field's name was Bilam. He was the person who was going to create this level.
Whose idea was this?
Chazal. This is a Medrash. This is a Medrash. Rashi also quotes it. So again, that's the first problem. The first problem is a general problem, like where's Bilam? Who's Bilam? But the more precise problem is the fact that Bilam is approached by Balak to curse the Jews, whatever that means. I mean, all these words that the Torah uses, halavai, we knew what they meant, right? But we don't. And they're really not so accessible. So that itself is a medrash. Just saying what the words mean is a medrash, because you usually can't prove it. You could only kind of intuit it. So the story of Bilam contains two parts that are very, very strange. In the first part, as we'll see in a moment, in the first part, Bilam says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can I go with them? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. In the second part, Bilam says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can I go with them? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes. Now this is totally beyond of any other kind of comprehension at all. It's hard. It's hard to imagine, and certainly even harder to understand. Finally, I would like to point out that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a prophecy that B'nai Yisrael would become aware of, some sort of a blessing, like Ma Tovu Ohalecha Yisrael, right? Ma Tovu Ohalecha, that's a good thing. Why is that prophecy brought into our world through Bilam? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu say that? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu be the prophet who brought the positive prophecy in the world. What, pray, do we need Bilam for? I mean, what has Bilam got to do with this? So I would like to start on the second page. If you look at the second page, I'd like to just, again, the two psukim in Dvarim, in the parasha of Shoftim. Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. The word tamim is a very important word. It means whole, unblemished, without a scar. That's what tamim means. In the context of this pasuk, it's not perfectly clear. Tamim, you should be tamim in Hashem Elokecha. Right, Rashi says, Hitalech imo bitmimut. You should go with God in the tamim manner. Vititzapelo. And wait for or yearn for God. Velo tachkor achar ha'atidot. And don't try to figure out what's going to happen in the future. Ela kol ma sheyavo alecha. But whatever happens to you in the future, kabel bitmimut. Kabel bitmimut. Accept it with perfection. In other words, don't try to second guess. Don't try to figure out what's going to be. But accept whatever happens, bitmimut. Va'az tiye imo. Right, that's Tamid Yeim Hashem Elokecha. That's a description of being with God, ulechelko, and part of His a portion. Right, if it was Tamim, is about accepting the future and not trying to affect it. The second pasuk says, Ki Agoyim Ha'ele. All these other nations, the people of these nations, Sherete Yereshotam, which you are going to inherit from them, the Canaanites, El Me'onenim ve'El Kosmim Yishma'u. Me'onenim and Kosmim are words that describe magicians. I guess we would call them magicians. Vata lokein natan lecha Hashem Elokecha. And God did not give this to you. What does it mean, Rashi? Lokei netan lecha Hashem Elokecha. God did not give this to you. What did God not give to you? Lishmoa el ma'onenim ve'el kosmim. You're not supposed to go to listen to these magicians. Shaharei ha'ishra shchina ala nevi'im v'uvim v'tumim. So here you have it. We have prophets and they have prophets. Our prophets are called Nevi'im and Urim V'Tumim. Urim V'Tumim are the stones on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which were also a source of information about the future. So the second pasuk actually contradicts the first pasuk that we read here. The first pasuk said, don't be interested in the future. Don't try to find out what's going to happen. But we know that the Urim V'Tumim were used when the king was supposed to make a decision about going to war. Go to war? Will it be successful? Should I do it? Take a look at the Urim V'Tumim. So that it sounds like Goyim, the nations of the world, they have Ma'onenim and Kosmim. They have magicians. And we have Urim V'Tumim and Nevi'im. But the Urim V'Tumim and the Nevi'im can also tell me about the future. So what's the difference? What is the difference? Well, maybe the difference is that with the Kosmim and the Ma'onenim, what you really want to do is affect the future. You want to change it. Whereas the Urim V'Tumim will just tell you, should you go to war or shouldn't you go to war? Will it be successful or won't it be successful? But you can't use them. Could be. I'm just throwing out this possibility. In order to further get us involved in this particular problem, I want you to look at the Nitziv. See this, the whole thing is the commentary of the Nitziv. In the Chumash on these Psukim, on Pasuk Yudalit, right, V'atem lo kein natan lecha Hashem elokecha. By the way, the question that people ask about whether the Ma'onanim and the Kosmin could really do it, like, were they for real? Or were they just charlatans? Could they really predict the future? Or were they simply there to put it over on us? So look at what the Hanech Dabar says. It says, Lefi Devareni, Devareni, B'mashma'ut Tamim Tiyeh. He says, as we have explained previously, in the previous pasuk, the meaning of the word tamim, tiyeh, leilech betach bitom, to go with full, with a feeling of security. But you go along and you know that God is taking care of things. Then came, in Cain, mazot mimut, if that is true, what I said, that tamim means you should feel secure about what you're doing and the world and everything will work out. So what is this pasuk talking about, which is indicates that tmimut means that we should ask the Navi but not the Ma'onein and the Kosein? Aval yesh ladat, he says, the avo gav da blichot adam v'olamo shel atzmo yesh liyot tamim im Hashem. He makes a distinction, and he says, a person, every person, should be tamim im Hashem, which means that you have confidence that the world is being run properly because God is running the world. Tamim im Hashem. And that individual should not go around trying to find out what's going to happen, what's the next thing that's going to happen. And this is what Bilam said when he said, that there are no soothsayers in Yaakov because they were tamim. They believed that the world was as it should be. Mikol makom, and this is the part that I find really remarkable. Mikol makom, nevertheless, the Nitziv says, bizman milchama, in the time of war, ve'ein etza brura, and you don't know what you should do. Should you stay put and hope the war will pass you by, or should you run away to a quieter place? Harehu sakarat defashot. After all, it's a matter of life and death. Yesh lachkor v'lada'at. In such a case, it is permissible to try to find out about the future. So again, what does the Nitziv say? That the opposition that the Torah has to asking the diviners what's going to be, that's on a personal level. Now, personally, I'm supposed to accept the idea that the world is as it should be. But if there is a tremendous danger that might affect the entire people of Israel, for example, then it's reasonable to look to a marehu sakarat nefashot, the first white line, yesh lachkor v'ladat, then it makes sense that everybody want to know what's going to be. V'zehu ta'amo shel Shaul ha-melech ha-tzadik, and this explains how it is that Shaul ha-melech, the first king of Israel, who was a tzaddik, a righteous person. In other words, he certainly agreed with me, then it seems said. Therefore, Shesha'al Be'ov, he asked the question of the witch of Endor. You remember that story? But he did it. Sharei b'feirush dibra Torah ki ata lokei navim mikerbecha v'chulei. Because it's quoting the psukim there, mevoah shebizman she'ein navi ve'ein efod akara lishol gam ba'ov achreach lishol gam ba'ov. He says that in a time when there is no navi to ask and there is no efod, there's no breastplate to check with, it becomes necessary to ask even a witch. And he was punished for that. So the Netziv makes this distinction. He says, personally, you shouldn't ask, but nationally, sometimes the issue is so great that you have to find out what the future holds in store, and you have to ask the diviners. That's how he explains what Shaul HaMelech did. There were no prophets at that time, and there was no ephod to check with, so he went to the witch of Endor. He went to the witch, even though he himself, Shaul HaMelech, wiped out the witches in Israel. And he had to go to one to find one to ask the question of what is going to be. So according to the Netziv, what is interesting is, I think, that these witches or these people who are called in the Torah Ma'uninim and Kosmim, these people have real power. No one in the Torah said, don't go there because they have no power. Don't go there because they don't know what they're talking about. It's according to Netziv, the Torah says, don't go there, or the Rashi, don't go there because you have Nevi'im. You have an Ephod, the Kohen Gadol. You have a better option. But the Netziv comes along and says, if some crazy reason that better option disappears, then you go to the lesser option, if it's something based on national security and enterprise. So we find out from looking at this pasuk and sort of like thinking about the Netziv that the Torah is talking about something real. That the fact that a non-Jew can have the power to give a bracha or have the power to state a klala, these things seem to be true, and the Torah wants us to recognize that the Navi is greater access to God than the Ma'onein and the Mechashev. Okay, and the Kosei. So now let's go to the beginning of the Parsha of Bilam, and we'll try to figure it out. So Rashi explains. Rashi says, "Amar elu shnei melachim sheinu betuchim alim." There were these two kings, and we were certain about them. Lo amdu b'fneihem. These two kings, Sichon and Og, they just folded up. Anu, alachat kama v'kama. We're so small and insignificant. We certainly will not be able to stand up before them. Lefikach v'yagar mo'vayagach mo'vi, they were afraid. So when you're reading this pasuk, about Balak, right? Was he right or was he wrong? Was he right to be nervous? He was right. He didn't do anything wrong. He looked around. They came and they reported to him. that the kings of the Amori were destroyed by the Israelis, so he was a little nervous about it. Because to get to Eretz Canaan, you had to go through the land, Moab. The second pasuk Gimel says, "Vayago Moab b'nei ha'am ma'od ki rabhu v'yakatz Moab b'nei b'nei Yisrael." So that's it. They were afraid. They were really afraid that they looked like they were a warlike group coming out of the desert, killing everybody in its way. Right, pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Moab al ziknei Midyan. So the Moabites tried to get the Midianites involved. Atah, he said, now what's going to happen? Yilachechu ha-kahal etol suivateinu telechol chashor et yerech ha-sadeh. They're going to trample us. Like the oxen trample the vegetables growing in the field. U'balak ben tzipor melech le-moab ha-itei. Balak was the king of Israel. Okay? Rashi points out, Pasuk Dalet El Ziknei Midyan, V'alo Me'olam, Ayuso Nimzeh, they hated each other, the Moabites and the Midianites. Shene'amar, Amaked Midyan, B'stei Moab, Shebao Midyan al Moab l'milchama, the Midianites took a stand against the Moabites in war. Ela Me'iratam Shel Yisrael, Asu Shalom Menehem. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Like that kind of thing. So there was the greater enemy. The greater enemy was Israel. Right? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mara Moab, Litol Eit Sami Midyan. Well, okay, they're not enemies, but how come they're giving advice and accepting advice? Kevin Shehu Et Yisrael Notzchim Shelokim in Hagolam. They saw that the Jews were winning in battle, and this was something that was not regular. Amru manigam shel elu b'midyan nitgadel. Nishal mehem abidato. Says we're going to find out what they have, these Jews. Amru lo ein kocho ela b'fiv. So they said, the Jews, they know how to talk. Amru avan nevo alihem ba'adam shekocho b'fiv. So we're going to go and fight against them with a person who knows how to talk. That was Bilam, Kocho Befiv.
Wow.
It's a great idea, right? It's a great idea. Okay, so we'll go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Hey. Vayishlach malachim el Bilam ben Ba'or. He sent messengers, emissaries, to Bilam, Pitora, Asher al Nahar, Eretz b'nei Amor likro lo lemor. They sent him, he would live in that place called Pitora. Lemor, and this is what they said. So they told them the story. Why they were afraid of Bnei Yisrael? Why they were afraid? Vata pasuk vav, ata lechana arali et ha'am hazeh. Go and curse them. Ki atzumu mimeni. We can't fight them any other way. Maybe then, after you curse them, I will be able to beat them and I'll drive them away. Kiyadati, Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi, Kiyadati, al yidei milchemet Sichon, ezrato lakot et Moab. I knew from that war somehow that they would be able to help me do away with Moab. So now, Pasuk, this is a very important Pasuk Zayin. Vayelchu ziknei Moab ziknei Midyan uksamim biyadam. What does that mean, uksamim biyadam? What is uksamim biyadam?
Sounds like they also had some kind of magical...
They what?
Like they also had some kind of magical equipment.
You know the ksamim for them?
Oh, I don't know.
Who were the ksamim for?
They're hired to help.
They were?
The ksamim that they hired.
The ksamim are, what are ksamim?
Magical apparatus.
Yeah, good. Magical apparatus. Yeah, it's things that you use in magic.
Mm.
So whose things were they? the Zkenim, but why did they bring them with them? Why did they bring them? So Rashi says, you see, it's the next to the last narrow line in the Rashi. Uksamim biyadam. Kol minei ksamim. They brought all kinds of stuff, of apparatus. Shelo yomar, ein klei tashmishi imi. That Bilam would not be able to say, I don't have my stuff with me. I left it on a job, you know, elsewhere, and therefore I can't curse. So they would say, oh, here we just brought you more stuff which you could use. He says, Ein kli tashmishi imi. That's one perush. Dvar acher. Kesem zena tlu biyadam ziknei minyan. They took this magic with them. And what was the magic? Amru, im yavo imanu bebamazot yesh bo mamash. If he comes with us right now, then there's something to him. V'im yidachenu ein bo to'ela. That if he tells us that he doesn't want to come with us, then there's no point. He can't do anything. Lefikach, kshamar lehem linu po alayla. When Bilam later on says, why don't you just stay over the night? Amru ein bo tikva. They said, he's not going to help us. This is hopeless. Yidichu velchu lehem. They let him be, and they went. Shne'emar v'yeshivu sarei Moab im Bil'am. I will ziknei minyan, minyan al-chulem. So Rashi tells another story. Rashi tells another story. But I think that from Rashi and the Pasuk, we understand one thing. That they were not confident, 100%, that he would go for it. They were not really confident that Bil'am would agree to the deal that they suggested. And so, since they weren't confident, one second. Again, Pasuk Zayin, Vayechu ziknei Moab, v'ziknei Midyan, uksamim biyadam, v'yavo el Bil'am v'yedabru elav divrei Balak. They told them why they're here. V'yomer aleihem, and Bil'am answered them, linu po halayla, והשיבותי אתכם דבר כאשר ידבר השם אליי וישבו שרי מואב עם בלעם. So Bilam knew that this was not within his regular charge that he received from God. But God said, you're a prophet and you could do things, but cursing B'nai Yisrael was not one of those things. So Bilam says, Bilam says, listen, stay over, I'll talk to God. I'll talk to the boss. Maybe there's some leniency here. Maybe there's some way to get around it. So, Pasuk Tet, Vayavo Elokim El Bilam, this was totally unbelievable. Vayomer Mi Anashim Eilu Imach. Okay, if you say about God, that's a way that God enters into a conversation. Of course, God knows who the Anashim Eilu Imach are. But God says, in any event, he says, who are these people? Who are these people who are with you? Vayomer Bil'am el Elokim, Balak ben Tzippor, Melech Moab, Shalach Elai, Pasuk 11. Hinei ha'am ha'yotzei mimitzray, v'yichasen ein ha'aretz atah lecha kavali oto, ulai uchal li'ilachem bo v'gerashtim. So the Bil'am repeats the argument. He repeats the argument that there's an ever-present danger to the people of Midian. The people of Moab and the people of Midian, Vayomer Elokim el Bilam lo teilechi mahem lo ta'or ta'am ki baruchu. And the question, of course, is what is the question and what's the answer? I mean, if Bilam knew that he could not curse B'nai Yisrael without divine approval, and there was no divine approval, so what is the importance of this whole story? Right? And then Pasuk Yud Dalet. So they went back to Balak and they say, Bilam refuses. So there was this assumption that Bilam wanted kavod, right? He wanted kavod. And so he sent him more officers, greater and more honored. Vayavo el Bil'am vayomru lo, ko amar Balak ben Zippor al nati mana, me'aloch elai. So Balak sent again. I mean, you know, when a king comes and sends you a request twice, it's very hard to say no. Ki chabed achabed chama'od, v'kol asher domar elai aseh, v'lecha na kava li et ha'am hazeh. Vayan Bil'am vayomer el avdei Balak. Balak, he gives me all the gold and silver in the world. Lo chala avor et pi Hashem Elokei la'azot k'tana u'gdolah. That's what he says. He says, I can't do anything. I can't do anything that God doesn't allow me to do. Vata pasuk yutet. Shivu na bazek amatem alayla. So stay over tonight again, he says to them. Stay over another night, and I'll tell you what God says. And God said to Bil'am that night, and said to him, if they came to call you, then get up and go with them. Kum lechitam. The last Rashi, im lekro lecha, im a kriyah shelcha, v'savur ata litol alech asachar, kum lech itam. Nevertheless, al korchecha, against your better intention. Whatever I tell you to say, that's what you're going to say. Amar shema afatendu v'yitratse. He says, nevertheless, Bil'am went, Amar, he said, shema afatendu v'yitratse. Maybe I'll convince God, and he will agree to what I say. Okay, in order to explain all of this, I want to make a distinction. While it is true, I think it's correct, that we, even if we were prophets or Bilam, there's something that you cannot do, and there's something else that you can do. What you cannot do is tell God what to do. But what you can do is argue with God about justice. Because Avraham Avinu already proved, this is my opinion, that the Ta'ana, that you say, yes, that what Avraham Avinu said in stone, remember stone? Avraham Avinu can say, what are there, 50 righteous people, there 40 righteous people, 30 righteous people, it seems so childish. The argument, and God kept saying, yeah, okay, 50, I'll let them live, I'll let the 40 live, etc. So what is it that Avraham Avinu was doing that was so successful? Why was Avraham Avinu successful? Avraham Avinu was successful because he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if my job is to spread the truth about the relationship between God and the world, I have to be able to understand how what God does is just. If I cannot argue that what God does is just, then I can't convince anybody. If the people are going to come to me and say, stone, all the people were killed for no reason at all, not all of them were that way, only some of them. Some of them were that way. So that's what Avraham Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted it. Right? If Moshe Rabbeinu went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, if you kill all the people who were guilty in the Chet HaEgel, then the rest of the world will say that God was incapable producing the necessary result, bringing them to Eretz Canaan, and therefore that would be a setback in history. Moshe Rabbeinu could say that. You can say that to God. You can say that to God because Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge, not only of bringing the Jewish people to Eretz Canaan, but he was in charge of making sure that people in the world understood a little bit better that God was in control of things in the world, like the Navi, that the Pasuk talks about according to Rashi. So there are things that you cannot do, and there are things that you can do. And the things that you can do sometimes seem to be overwhelmingly powerful, even greater than the things that you can't do. So if the elders of the Moabites and the Midianites came to Bilam, uksamim biyadam, and they said, "We know you might not want to do this, but we think you have the power to control the divine. And we bring you ksamim, extra, incidental ksamim that you could use in order to produce that kind of control. And what we want is to weaken the Jewish people to the point where they will not be a danger to us as they move in the direction of Eretz Canaan." That position is untenable. That position is untenable. It cannot be accepted. It cannot be used. But the second time they came, Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayavor Bil'am Vayomru Loko Ma Balak Bet Zipo Adnan Timana Me'aloch Elai Ki Chabed HaChabed Chama'od, etc. So there is no mention of the fact that they came with samim, but they came with an argument, and the argument was that they were in a different, that the people were in a difficult position, the Midianites, and that they were afraid of the Jews who were coming and had destroyed Sichon and Og, and were now coming into their territory. Ki chabed chabed chamaod kol shadomai lai eser. I can't take a stand against God, but I can make an argument. I can make an argument that after all, the Midianites, there's no reason, they're not like the Amalekites, who took a stand against Yitziat Mitzrayim. They're not like Sichon and Og, who didn't want to allow the people to go through their territory to get to Eretz Canaan. There's no reason for them to be punished. That Bilam could do. That Bilam could do. And the question is, Bilam would have to say something. They'd have to say, and therefore, you should slow them down. There should be some sort of a curse that would enfeeble them and make it difficult for the Jewish people to continue against the Midianites. And that I could do. So the distinction there between knowing something, right, and being able to change God's will somehow is the issue in the parasha of Bilam. And that issue, the parasha of Bilam, is repeated again at the end of the Torah in the parasha of Shoftim, as we saw, where the Torah talks about Ma'oninim v'Kosmim. And the Kosmim is the same word that's used here in the story of Bilam to explain what the people wanted Bilam to do the first time around, but which then they realized that he wasn't going to do. And they hoped that nevertheless he could produce an argument which would justify their position and slow down the Jews, make it difficult for the Jews to trample their territory. Right? You imagine a horde of people going in a certain direction could lead to trampling the... so that Ma'oninim and Kosrim, it seems, Ma'oninim and Kosrim, the Pasuk, are real people who have real ability to figure out what's going to be. And the Torah tells us that we shouldn't go that way because we have Nevi'im and the Ephod. We have prophets, and we have the Kohen Gadol, who can tell us things about the future. But on the individual level, the Netziv says, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, reflects a kind of a spiritual tour de force, that somehow through Tmimut, through accepting the world as it is, we can be closer. We could be closer to God. I mean, everybody has examples. Let's say, I'll be in favor of this idea or against this idea. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. But it's something, I think, to think about. You know, spiritual achievement is always something to think about. Is it real? And if it's real, what are the agents that might move us in that real direction? So the story of Bilam is a story which tries to define, I think, you know, what Bilam was, what his actual power was. And Balak was smart enough to realize that in sending the Ksamim, he had made a mistake. That's not who Bilam was, and that's not what he was prepared to do. So the second time around, he asks Bilam to just justify him, to defend his position, which is that the Jews are going to overrun his territory and leave everything to shambles. And that Bilam thought he could do. He could make the argument with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in the past, prophecy was able to make an argument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted, which means that it doesn't mean that God was enlightened by the argument, but it means that God was happy that the argument was being made. And there's sort of a difference between those two things. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.